You are listening to Fresh Oil, a podcast that examines the human condition while coming to terms with the purpose of life.
Hello and welcome back to Fresh Oil with Billy Delaney. This week, we're going to go inside the unknown book, the powerhouse of literature, regardless of humanity's views about it. We're going to look at the most unreligious book in the world. We're going to look at the main theme of the unknown book. We're going to talk about the human narrative in relationship to the unknown book. We're going to talk today about the redemption story inside the unknown book. We're going to talk about the prophetic outcomes that the book states will take place. And we'll look at the human condition and its relationship to the unknown book. And then we're going to look at some of the advanced structures of the unknown book and how it relates to modern living today. And then we'll bring some final thoughts to bear. Are you ready? Then let's go deeper. The most unreligious book in the world sits on the shelf of most homes in Western civilization, in some version or other. Me, it's the authorized version, and after 40 years, there's many reasons for that exclusive use. And if you're listening to Fresh Oil on a regular basis, you know that we're producing the newsletter here in a few months, and we're going to be providing that for those that want to learn the content in a very simple, organized, and structured fashion, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And it's all about this book. Well, the most unreligious book in the world. Most people who own a copy and pull it down from the shelf from time to time to read a portion really don't know what they have in their hands. This is no mere religious book, not at all. In fact, it's a powerhouse of literature, covering all the topics of humanity that matter, and covering them completely. Well, the first things, though, is always the author. People write books, the making of them, there's no end. And you need to consider the writer of a book, or you have no basis to consider the work. And do we have an author of distinction, or what? The Creator wrote a book, this book, the unknown book, and men love it, or they hate it. God knows man inside and out. And inside the unknown book, he reveals him for what he has become. God also shows everything about the human condition in words that comfort or condemn, lifting, exposing, examining the soul of men. And no human should ever go through this life without having read every page. The unknown book has been deliberately written over a couple of thousand years. The author, the Creator, has taken the time to condense the human condition and the revelation of that condition into succinct words. Words that have proven incisive and have been proven in the lives of those who were moved to pen what the author dictated. Words that we understand. No highbrow, no intellectual, no scholastic driven words. Words of the farm and the field. Words of the factory. Words of the warrior, the soldier. Words of the mother, the father, the parent, the child. Words of the troubled, the sick, the weary. So you might ask me, why is it that this book has me so full of words? So much so that an entire site is driven to serve it. I'm glad you asked. I know you didn't, but it serves the writing purpose and speaking purpose to put the words in your mouth. I've lived with this book on a daily basis for the most of my life. Never far and often open in at least one room of my home at all times. So in this episode of the podcast, let's take a peek at what's actually inside the unknown book. Well, the main theme of the unknown book, it might surprise you to know that it isn't a book that a preacher grabs a sermon outline or a text from on a Sunday so that he can have a homily to throw at you to do better, be better, live kinder, give money, be more social. The main theme of this unknown book is politics. And who would have thought it, right? And in Western civilization, in fact, in any civilization, there's only four real political parties, and I've discussed that, and you'll hear more about that later and again. And those positions all come from one chapter out of one book in the Bible. And it has to do with a millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are two main considerations in the book that deal with these politics, and that is the kingdom of heaven, or the rule of God in the creative universe, everything that you physically see, stars, nebula, galaxies, planets, earth, sun, moon, stars, and then the kingdom of God, or the rule of God in the heart and mind of humanity and all the other creatures in creation, whether it be seraphim, cherubim, angels, and nature and everything else. And both these conditions, the rule of God in the creative universe and the rule of God in the hearts and minds of humanity, were lost in Genesis chapter 3. Everything in human history has been about restoring this original condition. On the one hand, by God, and that includes dealing with the sin issue. And on the other hand, by man, and that includes avoiding the sin issue. We see the results of man's efforts. War, because all political parties seek to make their political view dominate the rest of the political views around them. And then the moralizing and the philosophizing come to bear on those that won't bend to the moralizing and philosophizing of the dominant political religious viewpoint. God, on the other hand, took a completely different way, and we'll be talking more about that when we talk about the redemptive story. So politics is the main theme of man, and the book does not miss a beat when telling man how God is going to fix the mess without them having a thing to do towards it. Now man, on the other hand, doesn't miss a beat in defying God and telling him how they will fix the mess without him. The religious, see God, we fixed it for you, here it is, now you can pat us on the back and thank you, we've done very good. The non-religious, God, we just overthrew all the mess, cleaned it up, brought our own moral virtue to bear, and now you can say thank you. If you read the unknown book, you'll discover how it works out. And it will work out. Where you come into it is you have to choose which position to take. Man's position or God's. Either or, that is all. And inside the book, after you read about its unreligious nature and the main theme of being politics, you come on the human narrative that's inside the unknown book. You look at the state of mankind and mankind's hopelessness without the book to provide direction, explain what's going on around them. Now, men blame God for everything, but they won't look at his book to see what he's done about it. They won't look inside the unknown book to examine the process of the restoration of everything. And God took his time, and during the right periods of time and the history of mankind, he brought this book to fruition. That's a fascinating story and journey in itself, because it's not without its adversaries and adversary from the first words spoken. And there's reams of paper devoted to this topic. However, the unknown book arrived upon the world stage in its final and complete form during the years around 1600 and until 1881, and that is a definite date, marked the effect this unknown book had among men. And if you're anywhere aware of history, art, literature, and music all went up. Women's place in the world and how they were treated when this book was exposed to them all went up. Everywhere it was carried in the exploration and the development of the world, everything went up. And after 1881, it's been going downhill ever since. Why? Well, it took that long to get to a place where the book was abandoned. Judith Scholastic wrecking job done in the seminaries and schools around the world. And yes, that isn't an emotional statement. That's a historical, accurate, scientifically demonstrable fact. People didn't abandon the book because they didn't care for it anymore. People abandoned the book because man made it to where it wasn't worth reading anymore. You see, men hate this book because this book is the full fix on man, no matter what they do. The human narrative is that God speaks words, wrote those words down, and tells man to follow them. Man destroys the evidence and effectiveness of those words and refuses to follow anything but the dictates of man's imagination. That's the recipe for the human condition we face in the world today. A case of me first, you next. Entitlement, and so on down the line. But the unknown book, if you read the last book, is still predicting and accurately determining the course of human events. God and His Word are coming through right on time, folks. So we've seen that it's the most unreligious book. We've seen that its main theme is that it's politics. We've seen the human narrative is that man changed and messed with the book and to make it ineffective. But inside of it, the main sort of I know what's in the Bible is the redemptive story of the unknown book. The book is a story running through it that tells of God's promise to fix everything. And He does fix everything. Man, on the other hand, has decided to abandon God and try to fix things himself, and he fixes nothing. In fact, he makes things worse. In the redemptive story, the plan to restore the original conditions of the two kingdoms, kingdom of heaven, God's rule throughout the universe, the kingdom of God, His rule in the hearts of men, God, using the narrative of a lamb. And I podcasted about that a few weeks back. You can go look at the categories and see that. He tells how He is going to restore what man lost in the garden. That narrative is summed up in one verse of the unknown book. You can read it here, John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16. It was the verse of a generation. And yep, you probably can quote it. Nothing is going to stop the love of God in the redemptive process for succeeding in bringing man back to Him. The efforts of self-determination of the religious and political hacks will change nothing, but they'll only bring more wars. So now we come to another aspect of this unknown book that most people sort of dabble in, pay half mind to, is the prophetic outcomes of the unknown book. You may not get this, but no other book in the history of man, none, ever predict with any accuracy what God does with certainty. The figures are astronomical just in the life of Christ and all of the things prophesied about Him and what would take place and did take place. And it would take us all day to reflect upon them. But the scientific method would find that boring because that isn't something they want to spend their time with. The proof of the author's credentials is the results of the predictions. And you cannot understand the level of accuracy unless you spend a good deal of honest reading before the pages of the book. Obvious. I know, but the unknown book is bringing to pass the stated aims, predictions, events, and world happenings right on schedule. Many spend their entire lives trying to figure out the times and the seasons of these predictions, usually to their failure. Now, this causes men to laugh at the book, considering little of the evidence due to the fools who prognosticate and predict for it. You remember the meme that went around the internet about the rapture, where people would lay out their clothes and everything else like that and act like they were gone. Hum-ho. The unknown book will come through and it won't miss a beat. The fact of life as we know it, it just isn't sustainable. And we are on the slide down the road, the helter-skelter to the bottom of the peep, where man becomes base, goes back to the worst that he can be. Something else must enter the human condition to fix things. We're incapable of doing anything more than what we already do. Mess up, kill and be killed, only to try again. Ever positive. But the prophetic outcomes of the book go contra to man. And now we come to something that the book addresses in spades. And it's one of the reasons why men don't pick up the unknown book. Men hate the unknown book. Hate it. Why? Because it describes in exacting details the futility of their entire schemes, aims, goals, and plans that dismiss God. If you want to find out what God thinks of all this, you would read from Isaiah 44 through chapter 48. God laughs at this. Now, a book without humor would be a travesty in light of the human condition, right? Men never get it right. Because the only thing men learn from their history is that men never learn from their history. They have an aversion to the book. The unknown book is directly opposed to all that man planned to do, because it plans on fixing man, not man fixing the conditions. Man planned to do things without God. God wrote down what he's going to do regardless. Men therefore seek to overthrow God's written words and make him out a liar. It isn't going to happen. No matter what the scholars, translators, correctors, grammarians, historians, politicians, do-gooders, scientists, philosophers, and prognosticators mess with this book, it will affect nothing. And now in our day and time, there's something that was not known 300 years ago when the Authorized Version was penned, put together, and delivered to the place where men had it in their hand and were free to read it from the political constraints and structures they were under. And that's the advanced structure of the unknown book itself. And I recently saw this when I spoke at a social event, and it was interesting and rewarding. Well, I pointed out that what the social scene was amazed about, tweeting, posting, podcasting, emailing, marketing, and more, was pretty much old hat. And the effect was funny, because I showed them that the unknown book is designed to be read as a book, and yet, you can take it and treat it like posts. You can take a chapter and read it, and today's events would be just as current. For example, I mentioned Psalm 23. Everyone knows of it. Some can even quote some or all of it. It was written over a thousand years ago. How's that for staying power of an article in the age whenever posts are fleeting and lucky to even be read? And how many millions have been comforted by that? And then there's these tweets where you can put 140 characters out there to point at something else. Well, in two books of the Unknown Book, the Book of Proverbs and the Book of Jobs, they're exceptional places to go and get a tweet from. Often less than the limited characters allowed in electronic tweet, you can read of something simple. A statement. Who knew? That Unknown Book could and does stay relevant, no matter the age or the times. And then there's the blogs and the blogging. The writings of the prophets and the seers, historians, and events in the Unknown Book are duly recorded. Nothing is missed in them regarding the human condition, nor how to come to terms with the purpose of life. Nothing, I say. You want to look at a bad man? You can look at Haman. You want to look at a great woman? You can look at Esther. You want to see a great romance story? Go to the Book of Ruth. You want to see war and the futility of it and the effect of it on families? 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings will serve you up. You want to see empire building? The life of Solomon. Go read about it. You want to know what pain and suffering is like long before Auschwitz and Birkenwald and all of those other monstrosities served by human beings upon other human beings to bring in a kingdom that had no God? Go to the Book of Job, because chronologically and historically, it's the first book that was ever written. So you look at this book, this unknown book, and you think it's something that a preacher uses to go carry to hospital, or that he stands up on a Sunday to mention something out of, or it's there for the narrative of David and Goliath and Jonah and the whale and Noah and the ark and some child-themed songs, and you would be very wrong. It's about politics. It's about the state of mankind. It's about God's redemptive plan. It's about the prophetic outcomes that are going to take place in the nations. And you can read all about that in Daniel and other places. The human condition and man's actual hatred of this book. And the advanced structure of verse and chapter so that you can find your way around it. Regardless of the scholastic numbskulls that run their way around it. So here's some final thoughts about the Unknown Book. You know, we've spoken nothing of the social nature of this book. It covers topics that deal with death, poverty, money, relationships, trust, honesty, integrity, work, pain and suffering, laughter, drugs, alcohol, food, water, astrology, cosmology, spirit beings, the soul, the spirit, the body of man, to say nothing of the revelation of God that he provides in this book about himself, which he does, and does so candidly and often with humor. So to sum this podcast and this article up today, the Unknown Book is going to remain, for the most part, unknown. Man will cite a verse here and there to act like they know it, and to fool those who have an iffy relationship with reading it and owning a copy of it. But you, now that you've been provoked a little by me here today, what will you do? If you want, and that is always going to be a big if you want, you can read through the entire book at a leisurely pace in 30 to 60 days at the most. Now, what will that do for you? It'll set you before the author of the book, and it'll reveal you to his word. And until the spirit change has been wrought in the life of the reader of the Unknown Book, it remains closed to them. But if it's an honest heart, an open heart, that comes before this book, as you progress through the Old Testament and come up to the New, you'll meet all these different aspects of the book we've talked about. And you'll find that redemption is a change of heart, not intellect. Redemption is a confession that what God manifests in the flesh the person of the Lord Jesus Christ did for you in bearing your sin and mine on the cross, that acceptance of that is the foundation today, this day, for your redemption. The Unknown Book. I use this title to provoke. If you read it diligently, and you read it often, and you're looking for ways to talk to people about it, you might want to point them to the podcast. Well, that's it for this week. And I want you to know that you can go to the newsletter on Fresh Oil, click on it and read down through there and know what's going to be coming soon. A very structured, strategic approach to teaching you what's inside that book. It isn't going to be the high-ended scholastic mumbo-jumbo of going down into the bottom of a dead language to parsing verbs and so on and so forth. It's going to be about scripture with scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept. And if that's something that interests you, then go over there. Go to freshoil.com, and in the tabs bar right in the middle, it says newsletter. Click on it, read down through there at the bottom, and ask you to sign up. You can get information that'll help you about when and how and where the book's going to be delivered, the Unknown Books newsletter. Well, thanks for listening. That's Billy Delaney. You've been listening to Fresh Oil, and this week we've been talking about Inside the Unknown Book, the most unreligious book in the world. Its main themes is politics, the condition of people, the redemptive story, the prophetic outcomes, the human condition, the advanced structure of the book, and more. Hope to see you again on the other side next week.
You've been listening to Fresh Oil with Billy Delaney. Thanks for pressing play.